The Coa Valley in Portugal has much to attract visitors. Stunning scenery, wonderful wildlife, amazing nature trails, and incredible rock art from the Upper Paleolithic or Late Stone Age. This rock art has completely changed what we know about human activities thousands of years ago. Antonio Batarda is from the Coa Museum and Archaeological Park.
Until the discovery of the Coa Valley in 94, it was believed that art from the Upper Paleolithic was mostly cave art. The discovery of the Coa changed that paradigm of interpretation of rock art. Since we have here 1,000 engraved outcrops, 80% of Europe's known Upper Paleolithic rock art in the open air, the idea now is that rock art was a thing of the caves, but also of the open air. But open air sites haven't preserved as well as these cave sites.
So how easy is it for the public to see the rock art that's in this area?
Well, we organize trips to the sites. Of the 70 sites that we have here, we have three on open visitation. We take them aboard our 4x4 vehicles, sort of a safari. People enjoy that. And visits are always made accompanied by our guides. And they talk about the rock art, they show the rock art with the help of drawings, but they are also prepared to talk about the landscape and the natural values of the landscape, such as the birds of prey that we have in the area.
And the rock art that we'd see then, how old is it?
The oldest is believed to be some 20,000-25,000 years old. We dated in the first instance with the stylistic analogies, comparing with the portions of the animals that are depicted in other caves, which are well dated because they have organic remnants in the paint that was used. It could be animal fat, could be spit, could be blood, to act as a binder of the glue. So it's possible to date directly painted rock art, but engraved rock art we cannot date directly. So in the first instance, it was done via a stylistic comparison.
How was it made?
The rock art was abraded, packed, or done resorting to what we call fine line incision. Some people also mention filiform, but I like fine line incision. In some instances, not many, there are also scraped motifs. The rock was scraped in order to have a white shade, sort of white shape. In the most southernest site, very near to Faia Brava, in that area, which is granite, we have natural shelters that provide some sort of shelter, protection to the rock art. And we have, on top of engraved lines, I think we have still traces of paint. So it was very probable that they also painted on top of the engravings or individually just made some motifs only by painting. That site is extraordinary because it preserves those vestiges that we can use as an inference for the use of paint. But in the open air, the schist outcrops are completely in the open air. Schist doesn't do overhangs such as granite does. The traces of paint have completely disappeared.
Do we have any idea why they did this?
Oh, your guess is more or less as good as mine. Why they did this? Why do we do what we do? I don't like to get too much evolutionist, if you will, but I think that rock art is at the beginning of this stepping stone in this process of creation of culture everywhere in the world, more or less during this period, 30,000 years ago. Now they found some rock art in Indonesia dated at 32,000 years ago. There is a evolutionary trade-off in having culture. You need to have stories to believe in. You need to have a sense of meaning. Sense of meaning is provided by food for thought, for the brain. The brain is a very clever and fantastic tool that we have, but it's also a mischievous one. And it was a sort of evolutionary trade-off. We, as animals with culture, what is the most powerful way that you can put these precisely powerful tools at work, the human brain, is to be able to cooperate. Within competition and cooperation, how do we cooperate? How can we cooperate? By creating culture. So there's a sort of evolutionary trade-off, because at the same time that culture allows us or gives us more tools that can illusorily be used in our endeavor to hegemonically conquer the world, whatever, it also has a downside to it, is that stories are powerful. If you are a believer, or even if you are not a 100% believer, you have to follow them. You have to follow meanings, you have to follow rules, you have to follow orders, commands, social commands that are in the rock art. So for me, the rock art is quite political. It's a way to uneven tensions. But these stories also have the power, the hypnotic power, leading us into the escapist realm. We are finite beings. Life is not easy, but we find much comfort in these stories, be it religious, be it fiction. And there are some people working with a phylogenetic approach to stories, and they have traced back elements, what they call genomes of stories, of myths, all the way back to the Upper Paleolithic, that are still with us today. And again, if you go to the animals, it's quite interesting that in our minds and in the stories that we have, most of the stories are about animals. Human animals, with human meaning, that give us a lesson in something, moral lesson, whatever, but animals nonetheless.
That's Antonio Batarda from the Cover Museum and Archaeological Park. For more information, see centreofportugal.com.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.